Okay, yeah, then let's start.
Okay.
So welcome to the OR Hackathon series number four.
Three, I think.
So, ah, no, number three, sorry. And on the topic is this IDL specification of the API. My second topic would be the meta-ontology that Alexandra has developed. So maybe we can discuss this in this order. Any other topics?
No.
Let's
see. Yes, that's possibly it.
Sorry, what did you say?
No, I said that would be it. Although we might, we said we might discuss the possibility of hosting a community session if we feel public input on the categorization is useful.
Okay, so then let's start with the IDL interface. So Daniel has basically completely revised the specification, and I just post the link. Yeah, maybe Daniel, you want to give some overview?
Hello? So, does everyone who wants to follow with a file opened does everyone have the access to the file already?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So
your access is open to all, right? So we only need to register for submission of issues and things like that. So maybe a question for Michael. I'm almost certain everyone else has access.
I'm looking at the file.
Yeah, to the GitHub.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
Right, but you, if you have issues to submit, you might to be registered for access to this repository.
Okay. I have a GitHub account, so I'll see later on if I can upload anything.
Yeah, or maybe you can post your GitHub account ID to the chat, and then Till or Daniel could include you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I mean, I can see the file. I'm reading the file right now.
So, I will make an overview then of what I've done, and I would like to have input from other people who have also worked with it before and who have ideas and everything. So the first thing is I would go to in the beginning of the file there is a sequence of char, which is a blob, and which is defined for transferring files. And then moving down, there are two structures, one for sentences and one for symbols, which are pretty similar. And then there are a structure for language and logic. In OntoHub, we have separated the concept of language and logic. There is also serialization, which is not here yet. Which is a different concept, too. Then there are the metrics and note and metadata, which, come from the, specification of OR. And if I misrepresented them, I would like to ask, for your feedback. And then we come to the structs representing the ontology. So an ontology that is the two, that there are three structs for ontology. One is the ontology fractum or fragment, and then which has some metadata that are very that do not cost a lot to transfer when retrieving the IRI. And there are other two structs. One is ontology content, which has this fractum and the current version of the ontology. The current version of the ontology contains the symbols of the ontology, the sentence, the file, and which is a blob here, and metrics, notes, and metadata. Then there are other two structs, which is the repository fractum, which contains the repository name and a list of the lightweight information of the ontology. Yeah?
So just an interruption by me. So I have added a comment there. This should be synchronized with OMV. And maybe we just have here a list of key value pairs where a key comes from the OMV ontology and the value is a string or whatever. So then we could easily extend the OMV vocabulary without the need to change the API.
So and this note is placed in the is not, have you committed this note? Okay, so it is placed in the ontology fractum. Okay, and then there is an interface for querying particular values of an ontology and setting them or adding in case which we have lists. This could also be extended with the OMV approach by having key and value pairs. Then we have particular methods for accessing the fractum and the content based on an IRI. And then further we got another interface, which is the interface for querying a particular version of the ontology, getting its values and updating them. Again, OMV could be used here too. And then we have a repository which has the same methods for getting the values of a repository. Then we have another interface, which is the ontology base. This one, in this interface, there is a method called select ontology IRI list, which takes a list of parameters and to select to retrieve a set of ontologies. This one retrieves the IRIs. We also have one to retrieve the fractum and one for retrieving the content, a list of ontology contents, a list of ontology fractums.
Sorry, that's ontology base. Wait. Okay, so I thought you're speaking of ontology. So ontology is a different interface than ontology base.
Till, your voice is sort of going up and down.
Okay, is it okay now?
Daniel, we can hear you, but Till's voice was fading out.
Okay. So I was talking about on in the last one when I was talking about querying, I was talking about the ontology base, not the interface ontology. Okay. So going down the file, that is also a repository base, which works the same way for that the same way as the ontology base. Okay. So that's an overview of what these this interface looks like so far.
Okay, so thanks, Daniel. So one comment from me. So this interface ontology base, I have included as comments there the discussion from last time, which has not been implemented yet by Daniel. So Daniel's effort was basically to provide a kind of legal IDL document and provide all the types and so on, but he has not found the time yet to implement what we have discussed last time. So we need to rediscuss this. It's clear how this can be done and just needs to be implemented. One point that I would like to discuss is the inclusion of Gatekeeper, unless there are other discussion points directly to this, what Daniel has just presented.
Okay. Does this fit with what AutoHub is, the AutoHub API?
Yeah, it fits, but in a sense, we can also tune the AutoHub API in such a way that it fits with this API. So the important thing is that we have this repositories and ontologies. So ontologies are organized in repositories. And ontologies have versions. General subdivision of these interfaces, that's compatible to AutoHub's structure, yeah.
Well, my thinking is, it looks like an ontology is always in one language.
Sorry,
is always in a language.
Yeah.
Well, what if you translate it to another? Wouldn't it be the same ontology?
No, I think it should be a different ontology.
Yeah.
I think it should be different.
Yeah.
So what's the connection between those two?
It could be equivalence. It could be extension. It could be sub-ontology.
But Michael, those notes are associated with the same language.
I'm sorry?
Those notions of equivalence or extensions are associated with the same language.
The onto IOP framework.
Oh.
Yeah, right. Should we include some way of specifying that an ontology is related to another via those relationships?
So there will be a link there. So if you translate an all ontology to common logic, typically there will be a link from the all version to the common logic version. So that's not here in the interface yet, but it's there in AutoHub, and we would extend the interface with links, and then you can state the relation between these two ontologies.
So the plan is to have such links and interface for them?
Yeah, the links would also cover alignments in the sense of the alignment API by Jérôme Usina.
Right. All right. I guess we are going to have that eventually. Looks fine. And just that was the one thing that I thought, you know, we really ought to at least have a provision for.
So will you capture that point till, since this is still to do? Now that it's
you mean the link,
to-do item.
Right.
To make it clear.
So this will be sort of specific onto hub or onto IOP type relationship as opposed to other relationships or mappings.
Well, there are, see, the thing is that these relationships between ontologies is something that's not captured by any other effort in a way. I mean, the metadata, you know, workshops we've had in the past in OOR sessions, I kind of identified that. I mean, that's one of the shortcomings of OMV and things like that. So, for the most part, these relationships are kind of, are not really represented in the online specification. They're kind of talked about in the documentation. I mean, one of the purposes of OntoI from my perspective was to actually have an agreed upon set of these relationships that then you could use.
So the only interface would be the link, quote unquote, the link, and then you'll have a whole sort of ontology of, I mean, what that link could be in terms of relationships, mappings, and things. Is that the correct way to understand it?
Sorry, could you repeat?
So the only thing that matters on the API is the quote unquote the link, and then you'll have another whole ontology of what the link would be and how it maps or relates different ontology or ontology fragments. Is that correct?
It's not really an ontology of relationships,
or at least a taxonomy of what that would be. Or my question actually is, would you have two types of that link? I mean, the type that relates ontologies internal or through onto IOP processes versus other relationships that is more generic of ontologies, or would that just be one?
So you're saying what's something common to all of OOR, all OOR projects, that this would be too specific to a particular repository?
Not OOR projects, but common to ontologies. Okay, I mean, OOR. Do we have different types of that quote-unquote link? Something that's sort of internal functions of OOR and something that's external that operates among ontologies that are in the repository, in the OOR repository.
We want to try to ensure that there's that, let's say something like OntoIOP has all the different relationships that we would need to use. I mean, in that sense, what we're doing in OOR sort of feeds into that project to try to ensure that we have all the different relationships that people need in their specific repositories. I hesitate to call it an ontology of relationships because these are all meta-level relationships. It's something, say, that would be built into the meta language as opposed to an ontology.
Yeah, I would say we have an ontology. I just have posted a link, although it's not the right thing. I think I have a newer one, another one. So I think when writing the link interface, we will have a lot of metadata about links, what kind of links and so on. And this metadata should be treated like the ontology metadata where we have the OMV ontology and use that for classifying the metadata so we don't have all these detailed slots like name, description, language and so on, but just key value pairs where the keys are categories in the metadata ontology OMV. And the same could hold for links, that we have some link meta ontology. What are the possible links and or what are the characteristics of links? And then we have the key value pairs where keys are from this link meta ontology.
Yeah, I think the distinction though is that if this is a, you know, meta ontology, then, I mean, these are relations that are then between ontologies, which is a very different sort of thing than the other ontologies, really sort of a meta level ontology. And so we are planning on doing this with Calore in the sense of it would provide a kind of an interface. So you'd have these, and you could capture all these relationships as RDF triples. And then use an RDF, you know, graph visualizer to do the navigation. But I say that's something separate from the actual ontologies in the repository, which are theories, you know, as opposed to meta theories.
Yes, I understand that.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's a crucial distinction. I mean, shouldn't OOR be able to be recursive? Or is that too bizarre?
Yeah, the meta-ontologies for ontologies and links should be stored in some ontology repository. I think this kind of recursion is good, and we are also starting to exploit this within OntoHub. So if you want to change the meta-ontology, you can do it within OntoHub. So, for example, that's another topic that we should discuss later on, these categories. So Alexandra has built this meta-ontology of subject classification or of domain fields. And this can be stored in some ontology repository, say OntoHub. And at the same time, it will be used for classifying the subjects of an ontology. And in OntoHub, we will also have some browser interface where you can choose categories for an ontology, and these categories are chosen from this meta-ontology. So
beautiful.
Part of the OntoHub infrastructure is captured by a meta-ontology that is actually maintained by OntoHub itself. And therefore, in the interface, we don't need, I have commented this, we don't need things like set categories, add category, delete category. Delete category or add category would just be delete class or add class in a certain ontology, which is done with the usual mechanisms that you have for editing ontologies.
Very nice.
Yes. Agree.
So
nice.
So would the same be true of these onto-IOP relationships? That there's no need to have separate interface methods for those. So basically just have this ontology, and within the ontology there can be links to these ontologies.
Yeah, so you mean this classification of different links or relations between ontologies that would actually follow the same principles?
You have some
meta ontology for different types of links, and then you use the metadata for links are basically again stored as key value pairs where the keys are, or maybe also just values from this ontology. I'm not sure, but it's based on this meta ontology for links.
Yeah, so that's an interesting design. Issue is whether such links are just, well, effectively just data, and that the ontologies and the repository is not, in fact, directly aware of those links. Or do we make this more fundamental in that the ontology, it's part of the structure of the ontology, that it is related to these other ontologies via these links?
No, it's the latter. It's more fundamental. So the links are hardwired So the notion of link is hardwired onto Hub. Like it is hardwired in BioPortal where you have mappings there and so on. So that should be hardwired that we have links. And we are also implementing some nice graphical display that you can say, show me all the links of an ontology displayed as a graph and so on. So links are not just data, they are basically kind of first-class citizens, nearly as important as ontologies. But for classifying links, what are the properties of links? Therefore, we use this link meta-ontology.
That sounds good. Is there general consensus about that from everybody else?
Yeah, I would totally support implementing it that way. I think it's really nice. But can you capture the essence of that onto the chat? And then we can say we have consensus if there are no objections.
I think it's a good idea.
Are you writing that, Till?
Yes.
Okay.
Michael, do you have any thoughts?
Well, no, and this is what we're this is the essence of Calori, is the relationship between ontologies as well.
Right.
Wonderful. Yeah. Looks like we're all aligned.
Okay, so when we have consensus about that, that's great. Just one last point about the Gatekeeper API. Last time we discussed to include this also needs to be done. The Gatekeeper API is about users and permissions to access and modify ontologies. And in OntoHub, we have decided that the basic thing that users can access are repositories. And I think it's the same with Galore. So I think Michael can give someone access to the Galore repository, but wouldn't give access to individual ontologies within Galore. Or maybe it's possible, but it's not the usual way to do it.
What do you mean by accessing, being able to edit and upload, et cetera?
Yes.
Yeah, that's permissions to a person. Yeah.
Yeah, that's permissions for the whole repository.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and therefore, this Gatekeeper API should be linked to repositories and not to ontologies. And ontologies are contained in repositories.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Can we capture that and agree that as a consensus as well? I think it's an important design notion.
Right. And I suppose the way you've structured this, you have module org OOR persistence, then you could have org OOR, another module or gatekeeper, at the same level as persistence.
I also thought about that, and we could also have used these this Java package pattern for both Gatekeeper and persistence.
All right.
Okay, so if we have reached some consensus about the API, so Daniel will continue to improve this and implement all this, what we have discussed today. Then I would like to come to the second topic, and this is the meta-ontology that Alexandra has created and maintained in the last couple of days. So maybe, Alexandra, you could say some words about the meta-ontology.
Hello. So, as mentioned at the previous teleconference, we started by looking at different classificatory, international classifications and standards, which can serve as a useful reference to order and organize different domains that can accordingly classify ontologies covering different fields from national sciences, business, industry, and so on. So the international classification of education was selected as the most convenient classification, especially the last version, which should be officially recognized very soon. The draft version of this classification was published in 2013, and it is structured in hierarchy organized classes, and you can access this ontological structure that I developed based on this classification on GitHub. So this classification can be useful also because of many different standards that are developing across the international community, for example, coordination of educational domains and intense work on in databases and ontologies also in that field. So in order to see further how we can extend this classification with some subclasses, particularly regarding inclusion of categories from BioPortal, I was considering MESH, Medical Subject and Handix in the National Library of Medicine, which is controlled vocabulary thesaurus. And according to MESH classification of biomedical disciplines, I added certain classes of biological subdomains according to which we can include most of BioPortal categories. However, some of the categories from BioPortal, I don't know if you are familiar with the existing categories. At the moment, those categories are almost random. Actually, they are chosen according to the need of biomedical ontologists who are working in certain domains, but actually this categorization doesn't follow any consistent criteria to categorize ontologies. So on the same level, you can find the cell, dysfunction, anatomy, plant, all organisms, arabidopsis, upper level ontologies or treated like on the same level. So I somehow I believe that the approach that we are taking that is aiming to distinguish among different disciplines might be more stable and sustainable in the long run if we consider like further extension and development of the ontologies across different domains. So that is very brief report, but any comment and suggestion is very welcome.
That sounds wonderful. I have one question. I mean, when we were first thinking of categories, one thing that sort of jumps to mind is how librarians classify their books and things. I'm not familiar with sort of what the Dublin Core community is doing. Have you looked into sort of that work from that category or that community in whether, let's say, how librarians classify? I mean, I assume they classify knowledge that way. How their implementation may differ from this, which maybe looks like sort of industrial classification.
Yeah, actually, the Library of Congress classification was the first example that we wanted to consider, and we were considering that classification as a kind of model that we can reuse. However, when we were looking at the details of that classification, we realized that actually that kind of classification is very much domain directed. That means that many of the classes are obviously designed to classify literature and biography publications, and in many sections the categories could be reused. For example, it's also on a very centered to the national level. On the same level you can find American history and history in general. So the same holds for many other sub-categories of this Library of Congress classification. But in principle, if you have any other suggestion that can be useful for improving what we have or going in some other direction, we can consider that.
I don't have other suggestions offhand, but I thought librarians would have sort of progressed to something that is very usable, but from your research there, it looks like it's still a mess.
Well, I think I made this comment once before, is that we seem to be focused mainly on taxonomies here, just basically on hierarchy. Is that correct? Is that what these ontologies are?
Okay, so is that a question for me, or?
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with having some more general ontology rather than just a taxonomy?
Okay, I can briefly sketch it, then Teal can continue. So the basic structure of this first version, or now already second version of the classification of the domain fields, has a kind of hierarchical structure. However, in the future development, following a detailed annotation of the domains, we will have to specify particular disjoint classes, because there are many intersecting fields, such as biology and medicine. We have obviously biomedicine. And in that case, ontologies that will be related to the categories of our classification will follow OMV specifications, so to be connected with the property such as has domain. That's for the moment. And Till will continue.
So, in a sense, this ontology of subject classifications for ontologies, so this meta-ontology for subject classification of ontology, is mainly a taxonomy and has no object properties in it, because the main use is that, like in BioPortal, OntoHub, we want to let the user classify the ontologies. And if you submit an ontology, you have to select one or more categories, which are classes in this ontology. And if you search for an ontology, you can also search by these classes. And I'm not sure if you would actually provide more deep ontology with object properties and properly linked classes, what the benefit for ontology storage and retrieval in a repository would be. But maybe there are benefits, but we need to discuss that.
I have a question. Go ahead.
An example of this would be this idea that some ontologies are prescriptive and others are descriptive. I would think that would be a significant property of an ontology, and it wouldn't fit with any of the things that any of these classification type ontologies So I think there may be other, you know, characteristics of ontologies that are quite orthogonal with this idea of, say, what domain it's intended for. I believe it was the Ontology Summit 2007 where these issues were considered.
You mean, 2007 was, what was 2007?
Yeah, understanding taxonomies and ontologies and folks.
Oh, yeah.
So that's sort of the different facets of how to classify ontologies, which Michael contributed a lot of the... So
right, you were involved in it. I was involved in it.
Right.
Yeah, well,
that would be a useful, it would be useful to sort of formalize what happened at that summit, so that we would have these different dimensions for classifying ontologies.
So, but this ontology is just about subjects. It's kind of orthogonal to the meta ontology like OMV, or was what was discussed in the 2007 ontology summit. What are the different properties ontologies and how to classify them? That's a different ontology that will be the next step. Here we focused only on subjects. So in this other ontologies, in this OMV style ontology, we would have a relation has subject, and an ontology has a subject, and the subject stems from this ontology of subjects.
Yeah, if anything, the 2007 summit, I mean, that was trying to come up with a way, that's almost like ontology metadata in a way.
Has a subject, indeed. Well, I'm just suggesting that we try to have a somewhat better API for this so that we're not limited to just, you know, the subject, that we could actually provide, not necessarily a requirement, but at least an option to put these other characteristics.
Well, wouldn't that go along with the notion of passing the instances of the ontology itself? Or just the ontology for those lists of additional characteristics or attributes or relations?
I'm not sure what level this belongs at. Is this at the level of ontologies or these
instances thereof?
Or an ontology grouping? I'm not sure.
Yeah, but again, this ontology is only about subjects and we plan to have a more general ontology where you have also, say, is this an upper ontology or a domain ontology or a class ontology? These kinds of things.
Right.
So what is the language of the ontology and so on? And that would be a richer ontology with a lot of object properties. And that's what has been done at UMV and the Ontology Summit 2007. So we will develop such an ontology in the future, or extend what is there, say. But that's not the point today. Today is just this classification. So in this has subject relation, what can be at the target of the has subject relation? It's a very specific point. That's all what we are currently talking about.
Okay.
Yes.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Yes. I fully understand the point just now. There's some echo. Allow me to mute Todd, or if you can mute yourself. Okay, my question for Alexander is, how many different classes or categories is in your ontology now?
Okay, so the first version, which contained just classes of the national classification.
I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Barely.
Can you hear me now?
If you get closer to the microphone, it might be better.
I do have headset. It might be some setting. Is it better now?
It's very good now.
Okay, so So the first version, which contained just the classes based on the international classification of education, contained around 102 classes, if I remember well. Now the extended version, just a second, and the extended version contains 225 classes, so it and axioms, because it's mostly like is a relation, so between the classes, like hierarchy, and so this expansion for around 100 of classes is mostly regarding biomedical domain, including biochemistry and related disciplines.
Okay. Oh, could you type onto the chat so that we capture how many classes, or possibly if you
okay.
on the hierarchy, how many levels?
Okay.
Yeah. My question, reason why I asked, is if thinking of the use case currently. BioPortal has one, and then the OR people actually expanded that in, mainly Mike Dean expanded that into sort of a few more categories, making it easy for people when they upload the an ontology to maybe choose one out of just a few. But when we go into hundreds, it starts getting difficult to choose. Maybe the use case is now slightly different. My point that I would like to bring up for discussion is, should we, maybe as OOR or as OntoHub, only stay at the fairly high level of the hierarchy and allow domain repositories to expand that? Let's say from an OOR point of view, we would just have one category for biomedical or bio, and then another for medical, and then the BioPortal people will then further subcategorize their subjects, rather than us trying to define from the OR perspective, us trying to define that. Since we are not domain experts, we will never be able to define their categories as well as they should. They could. That's one thought.
Okay, so the idea of introducing a kind of standard that can be used and developed by the Open Ontology Repository Initiative, for sure, this is a very crucial topic that needs to be discussed about, like, where to stop and how far to go in details of classifying domains. However, having some kind of additional subcategories might be also useful for maintenance of the repository, for exchange of new versions and so on. So I think in the future, like, this kind of having subclasses might have also an advantage. In particular, if we look at the BioPortal, which is very much domain-centered, they have class like dysfunction. They have category, one of basic category for search. And for sure, in one big ontology repository, dysfunction will appear and figure in many different domains, such as engineering, healthcare, or biology, or services, and so on. So having such kind of broad category, which is very efficient in BioPortal, cannot serve its function so well in this kind of ontology repository, which should deal with many different domains. So the issue of going deeply into details for sure is something that needs to be discussed. Maybe Kilmer.
Okay, so Alexandra has basically developed the details of biology a bit, and just to be sure that we can federate with BioPortal. But Peter is right that, of course, I think we should take this tree below biology and send this to the BioPortal people and ask them to actually maintain this somehow. On the other hand, it should be merged into one big ontology in order to enable this federation among different repositories. But of course, we cannot now continue and provide a detailed classification for every of these 100 subcategories. And then if we would have, say, 100 categories for each of them, then we would have 10,000 categories or something like that. That would be far too much. So I fully support Peter's idea of having more specific repositories. We, for example, plan to have Space Portal about spatial ontologies, and there we need a more fine-grained classification as well. And so different communities should develop different fine-grained classifications, but somehow it would be nice to have these fine-grained things included or at least made compatible, say, with an alignment of ontologies with this more kind of upper level classification that we have for OR and for OntoHub. Indeed, Oliver's idea was to have all this as an alignment of several different ontologies, and that also could be stored nicely in OntoHub, and the combined ontology could be created with a DOL combined statement and so on. But I suggested not to do this in the first place because it would rely on too complicated infrastructure to be actually used. And in order to quickly have something that is used, we now have one big ontology for everything. But I think in the end it should be some upper classification for OR and some more fine-grained classifications for specific subjects that are then aligned with the upper classification. That would be the general picture in the future.
Yeah. So well said. Can you capture that? I think that you've said it absolutely well. So.
Yeah, I can capture this in the chat.
Yeah.
So, Till, you describe your notion as a federated ontology?
No, it's an aligned ontology. So federation is among repositories. So, and if we have federation among different repositories...
I know, but what you suggested is each of those repositories may have a speciality that they are focusing on, BioPortal, geospatial, whatever, and then they would be responsible for maintaining this extension to the level of detail necessary for their repository. But in order to make... Yeah, but in order to make use of that fine-grained detail, if you're just going to an arbitrary instance of OOR, you'd want to be able to access that fine-grained level. And hence, you're, in addition to federation of repositories, that specific ontology or our group or set or whatever you want to refer to that collection of categorization ontologies would then themselves be federated in some fashion to allow access to that their information locally.
Yeah, that's a good point. And this kind of federation of these meta-ontologies for subject classification is kind of an ontology alignment. So, say, BioPortal will have a top-level class biology, say, and this top-level class of BioPortal would be aligned with the biology class in the OR meta-ontology. And, of course, we should ask the BioPortal people not to include upper ontologies at the same level as, say, yeast, which are they currently doing, but to have some proper proper ontology structure there.
Alignment.
Actually, it sounds like a distributed ontology.
Oh, that's what I said, yeah.
Exactly.
Distributed in several senses, actually.
Yeah, and make sure you capture that word.
Hello. Have you this is Daniel, and I don't want to problematize too much. Thinking of looking at the categories, and then coming something occurred to my mind. We have things such as food processing and mining and extraction, and which are subcategories of, it's an actual thing, of manufacturing and processing. So what might happen when we are looking at these subjects is that the purpose of the ontology and the physical matter that is being observed and categorized might conflate in such a way that we might have two different typologies converting into the same category. So once we have engineering and the thing that is being engineered inside of the same category, and we could also have another cartography. So, and we could say that there are mineral cartography, or we could have biological cartography and other combinations of concepts. We might actually not have a tree structure like we do have now, but several tree structures that combine different classifications. So I do not want to problematize it too much, but I see that there might be a problem on a very structural approach that we see in this ontology that we found in the this standardization effort.
Yeah, I'm a little hesitant about having something one big meta ontology. I think it sounds a lot like what Pat Caskey goes on and on about. I think it risks claiming that there is some unique upper ontology that's going to capture everything. I mean, I think it's almost better if we start doing this bottom up in a way. It's looking at the ontologies that are already in repositories and trying to identify, well, how would we do the categorization of the ones that are there? Or at least looking at this as a tentative kind of working hypothesis that such a big meta ontology is going to be useful. I'm worried that it will, as Daniel was saying, kind of conflate a lot of things together, and kind of claim to be more than it really is. But that's just my concerns right now. I think it's interesting, and I don't want to shoot it down, but I think I'm reluctant to kind of have it become some kind of de facto standard upper ontology within the project.
Well, it'd be mid-level anyway, Mike. What would be upper? Or foundational? Well, but what you're then suggesting is perhaps providing mechanisms to allow uses of other categorizations.
Perhaps, yeah.
Which I can see a lot of problems with also in terms of implementation and maintaining.
I mean, it is a very important question. Like when somebody says, what is this ontology about? And the answer usually is some answer that comes along with a domain or something. You know, like it's either about something generic like space, or it's something, this is about addresses, or this is physical addresses, or this is about this area in biology. So, I mean, people do use these as ways of describing what their ontology is about. But making the leap to have it be a kind of a, let's say, de facto standard might freeze things before into some mold rather than before prematurely.
Well, again, the issue here is really findability, right? That's the problem. And the use of categories is one solution, so maybe we're not looking at the problem correctly. I mean, the use of categories is just sort of a natural thing that we tend to do all the time.
No, and I think it would be something useful,
definitely. I'm not criticizing it from that perspective. I'm just...
No. Understood. But I'm saying that the problem really is that we're trying to solve is the findability issue. When you have a lot of ontologies, how can you easily find them rather than going through manually one at a time?
Right, and you also want to be able to compare. I want to say, what are all the different, address ontologies in the repository right now? And I like to kind of be able to pull all those out so then I could kind of compare them and see which one is the one that I want to use. Categorization is definitely a benefit. I'd like to see this more as kind of a working hypothesis that we're evolving rather than something we're adopting right away.
But that's just one possible solution.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the only solution, but it's just one. There may be others, which I can't think of right now.
One would be tagging and having a default set of tags that people could add new tags, but I don't think that would organize a lot of the information. It could actually lead us to a very unstructured, uncommitted tagging system.
Well, the unstructured part may not be bad. It's the usefulness of the tags to the end users and their proliferation.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, I don't know. At first thought, the notion of tagging I'm not too thrilled with because people can just put arbitrary things on that may only mean something specifically just to themselves. On the other hand, it has shown some value in some such situations. So maybe there is a need for this unstructured, uncontrolled mechanism and then let it play out. And maybe it converges or not.
To leave right now. Really interesting. This is really good. I like it, Alexandra. It's really interesting.
So just one comment regarding the tagging. So one idea that we are now currently implementing in AutoHub is that the user can actually on the fly add new categories to the meta ontology. So say AutoHub provides just the upper levels of this ontology, and there you have chemistry as a leaf, and then you say, okay, but I know that chemistry has a lot of subfields and they are not shown here, so I just can on the fly enter my own categories. So this would be kind of tagged, but the user is forced actually to place this tag at a certain place within the ontology. And then the maintainer of the meta-ontology could accept this new subclass or modify it or reject it. And this would be kind of synthesis between tagging and a predefined ontology.
Well, giving the user some guidance as to where the things might be associated would be good, but it shouldn't be categorical. I mean, the same tag may be relevant across multiple things we're calling categories. And maybe it's the case that there should be a separate, to use the term, a separate category for the notion of tags as opposed to categories in terms of classification. So that, these tags are fuzzier, less distinct classifications than more rigid notion of category that we've been discussing.
Yeah. And I can see Mike Dean's implementation. I mean, if for him, even chemistry is already too fine-grained, and he only has science.
Or not science. You can actually have things that are not scientific.
I know. I mean, his financial. I put a link on his 16 categories now on the chat. You can click on that one. Yeah.
No, but chemistry could just be a fertilizer or something. It has nothing to do with science. It's production. Can I produce enough aspirin or enough nitrogen or something? So.
Hello. Sorry.
Hi.
May reply to this question about fertilizers. So I think in this, what we have at the moment, the good thing is that actually we do have that kind of separation. There is like chemistry, like what you can study, like research field, and there is like horticulture between the branch of agronomy. So that's a kind of agriculture. And
industrial chemistry.
Exactly. So those feel like in case of biomedicine, you will have like classes that are not disjoint, and some ontologists will be assigned to both of the classes if they cover two fields, industry and chemistry. But they will be well structured and search by category, inserting also beginning of the word with autofilling, how that's called technically. Also completion of the term, like category can be found easily, even if it goes, the system contains more categories.
Yeah, maybe we should look at how schema.org people are breaking the thing down.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, schema.org, of course, is a classification of websites and by very important players like Google and Yahoo and Microsoft.
Right. Maybe if we adopt that, or we totally just adopt schema.org at that level, we might solve a problem. And that seems to be, one, have adoption and strong backing, and two, it's heavily maintained and it will be heavily used, and people will be familiar with them. Hello?
Although when looking at schema.org, it sounds a bit arbitrary. So you have creative works like book, movie, recipe, TV series. You have health and medical types, because the internet is full of medical stuff. Organization, person, place, product review, and that sounds a bit unsystematic, but it's clearly bottom up. It's what is there in the internet, basically. And the question is whether this is the same as what is there in ontologies. That might differ a bit.
Well, what if schema.org is used as sort of a level of tags that could then be organized more coherently?
I think it's already organized coherently. The problem is that what they are organizing as its bottom up is what is present, is more salient in the web. And as we are dealing with ontologies, which are domain specific contents, we might not have a mapping between, let's say, I'm going to just read two or three topics here, language acquisition and literature and linguistics, to one of the more specific types of schema, which are class, creative work, event, intangible, medical entity, organization, place, person, product, or property. You see, the mapping would be possibly very difficult.
And I think there is also a schema.org has a slightly different scope. If you look at person, it has a very rich structure. So person has name and email address and awards, birth date and death date and so on. So it has a rich ontological structure. There are a lot of object properties for person. And the same for place. Place has also address and geo-coordinates and whatever, map. And that's not directly what we need for ontologies. So for ontologies, we need categories, but we don't need this rich ontological structure that we have, say, if we have some class in some ontology that we have this heavy interlinking with other stuff. So I think that's, so schema.org is more about kind of instance data on the internet, which is structured in a certain way. And we are talking more about a meta classification of ontologies. And these are two different things, I have the impression.
Well, I think your point earlier about approaching it bottom up is appropriate here. Right, we already have experience, say, with BioPortal on what they need for classification. And it's pretty clear it doesn't align that well with schema.org.
We don't
have
a
very different purpose.
I don't think we have that. Even Ray Ferguson says, I mean, they are a mess and they need to clean up their act. So we actually
They definitely is a mess, but that's what happens when you do things bottom up. You know, you get, you know, people, oh, I want this classification to pop in just this tag. And, then you have to do an ontological analysis to try to make sense out of it.
And, there is also a point to the bottom up approach is that, the web exists, and it's very big. So the amount of data that we need in order to have some alignment is a very large data set. And in the case of ontologies, it might be the case that we have a smaller community that does not have this large set of input that will be able to give some alignment or good alignment.
Biology does have a lot of data.
Yes, and we see that BioPortal, that is quite large, has not achieved a large alignment on these categories. So if we should not expect.
We can barely hear you, Daniel.
Okay, sorry.
Oh.
My point is just that we might not have the mass that is necessary to have an alignment or a good alignment.
We can align if we underspecify.
I didn't understand.
I mean, if we just say we just have one category as biomedical, and then at least, I mean, there will be some alignment.
Okay.
If we try to be more fine-grained, then we will not align very well. But if we under-specify, then we actually will be able to align. That was my point about at the OOR level, we should consider being very sort of coarse-grained.
Yeah, so to summarize, we have a coarse-grained level at OR. We have more fine-grained levels at the individual communities. We will include some kind of a bottom-up way of suggesting new categories. We will also have to look at existing repositories, what are the categories there. And, yeah, I think also Todd has to go and kind of looks like that the discussion has come to some tentative conclusion, and I think we can take this discussion into account when developing this meta-ontology, and we will also provide this more abstract OMV-like meta-ontology. And therefore I would suggest that we now come to an end of the session.
May I suggest maybe one more discussion on, I mean, one, whether we agree we should host a session, maybe invite the BioPortal people, invite the spatial ontology people, I mean, invite a few sort of major community, domain communities to join. Of course, we have one proposal by then, and then gather their feedback and tweak, and then get their buy-in. I guess the important part actually is to get community buy-in from an OOR point of view, more than even getting input is, I mean, so that they feel some ownership, they had contributed, so they will agree to use, or they will align to the type of categorization schema that we are going to adopt. So I would suggest maybe we fix a date for that, and then we start thinking who to invite to that session. How does that sound? And then, of course, that also gives ourselves a deadline that we will have to propose at least a some sort of baseline categorization approach to present to everyone. I think the BioPortal people will be receptive because they know they need to redo that, and they have not had the bandwidth to look into it yet.
Yeah, sounds good.
So what time do you think? We're breaking for August, so the earliest is September.
Yeah, I think our next regular date would be September 10th. Why not do it then?
Would we be in a position then? Or you think that would be a good date?
You mean the question is whether we have something ready until then?
Right. A sort of general approach, a proposal. I mean, with, of course,
yeah,
with the
yeah.
details.
Or okay,
do
so
we want one more meeting?
We
want one more internal meeting that we align among ourselves before we present and sort of to the rest of the world and
yeah.
get the input.
So maybe then the October meeting.
So, yeah, it doesn't have to be a hackathon date. I mean, maybe we can do align among ourselves on the 10th, and then we propose the meeting on the 17th or 24th. Maybe 24th, 2 weeks from then?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. And if we could discuss online on the mailing list, but if there are people who you think we should invite onto the panel, especially people who would represent major communities, then we could start inviting them now that we have a date.
Yeah, we could collect this by email.
Yeah.
Or maybe on some wiki page.
Yeah, even, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably want to start a wiki page anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. So Alexandra and Daniel are also available at 24th of September. So then we would have 10th of September to discuss this internally, and 24th would be the extra discussion. So what would be the topics for next time?
Which
did you September the 10th.
I guess align on our approach in category, and then I guess next you maybe since you and Ken are chairing, then maybe the two of you could come up. One thing I would hope we can do, since we agree to do three things. We agree to sort of have an API, we agree to have to get a agreed metadata, and we agree to have some common accepted way to approach on UI, so that at least different people building different ontology repositories or modules could all be working simultaneously, bottom up. That was our agreement. So we've spent quite a bit of work on the API. So maybe the next thing is getting agreement on the metadata and how the metadata would get into the API.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And what was the third was the user interface, UI?
Third was the user interface. So some agreement on what to do with the user interface. So between these three subjects, find something that you think would be a good use of the hackathon session.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think, Ken?
What's the list again? I'm trying to go over this.
Yeah, three things. API, metadata, and GUI. And then user interface. I guess before we finish these three things, I think we should stay until we're all done.
Oh, I understand API and metadata. I don't understand three, UI. What is this?
Since we said we are going to do bottom up, so AutoHub people will do a lot of things on AutoHub. Maybe you will do a lot of things on the OOR sort of development, OOR sandbox type thing. Calore people will be doing a lot of Calore.
What I'm getting at is I don't understand what you mean by we have agreement on a user interface.
That actually, Michael brought that point up first, and I agree with him. So we just have a discussion on user interface, and so that there is some implicit understanding among the different development groups that there's some user interface that different groups agree to abide by or whatever.
Perhaps it's more an agreement of topics. We have topics, API, metadata, and user interface, but we don't have agreement on the specifics of all these topics yet.
Well, we're a lot better, and we've gone a long way on API.
Oh, absolutely.
And even metadata, but I don't think we've done really much of anything on UI.
It could just be a total agreement that, okay, we'll use the BioPortal UI as sort of the UI of choice for the time being, or something. It could be that.
We also have an AutoHub user interface, and I would love to discuss this at some point. Not now, I would say, because it's a bit premature, but at some point I would like to discuss the AutoHub user interface as well. So UI, I think, is a good topic. And I agree with Ken that we have more agreement on API than on metadata than on UI.
Oh, yes. We have not discussed
UI
topic. Yet. Yeah, we have.
I think it's a great topic. I'm just confused when you say we have agreed. I don't think we have.
No, we have agreed that we will focus on working on these three things and try to get it out within 3 months, actually. We have agreement on the focus.
UI could be difficult. So we haven't really even started looking at UI issues. So I think it may be a little bit too premature to be starting to talk, to think that we could finish an agreement on that in a short period of time.
Yeah, I agree. We should focus on API and metadata, I would say, and UI comes in later.
Right.
I think we should start some conversation on it. It could be some interim process or some interim agreement that each group could do. Otherwise, each group would just be doing their own thing. And
well, I'm not sure that that's so bad. I mean, having different UIs might be fine as long as the API and metadata are the same.
Okay.
Is it necessary to have a great UI?
Think of the user community. If there's a fairly uniform UI, it probably would be better than if we don't. And so that you go to Calore, it's a whole new set of UI. You go to OntoHub, it's a different set of UI. You go to OR Sandbox or OR Public Instance, it's yet another UI.
Okay,
yeah,
so
adopting the BioPortal UI actually is not a bad idea, in that probably of the number of people running ontology repositories, I would say a good percentage is running sort of the BioPortal code base.
Well, yeah, I think the UI is tricky because, you know, there are well-known and, you know, well-understood methods for designing UIs. And it's a whole field in its own right. I don't know that anything like that was actually done in the case of BioPortal. After all, I mean, they had a very specific clientele. They weren't looking at it in general terms. Phil, have you done something like that? A real, a rigorous process of UI design?
No, it's more an ad hoc process, I would say. Of course, we have looked at BioPortal, at the UI there, and have let us inspire from that. And then we have added other aspects of the UI, but we definitely are not experts on UI design and definitely do not have initiate a systematic process of developing the UI. That's not the case.
Right. So I think at the very least, if we go down this direction and start looking at UI design, we really ought to have at least one person who's an expert in human-computer interface.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So we actually had an offer of some person to have a look at OntoHub, the user interface, and some human-computer interaction expert. But then we said we are at such an early stage and there are so many things to be fixed in the interface yet, which we already know, then it would be pointless to have a discussion on UI design at this point. But yeah, maybe it's also helpful to have this quite early in order to involve, to avoid running into dead ends. I'm not sure.
We have a person?
We would have had a person if we would have agreed to have that at a certain stage, but we declined and we said, no, it's too early.
Yeah. I think if we can get such a person to be involved in the discussion, that would be great. If not, I don't think it's a good... We shouldn't be doing this unless there is such a person, I'm saying. Yeah, I know enough about these interfaces to know that it's very easy to make big mistakes.
Yeah, okay. So maybe we should have this UI as a third point. We discuss topics in that order, API, metadata, UI, and at the end of each session, we might have some time for UI.
Yeah, that's fine.
So it will be very little time in the beginning, but
Well, alternatively, we could just say, let's have a session for the UI and make sure we get somebody who's an HCI expert.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But I would prefer to have some little discussions about the UI just to get acquainted with what's there, what are the thoughts among us, and then later on we can have some expert panel like we have with the metadata now.
Good. Yes, I agree with that.
Okay. That's it for now, for today.
All right.
So, have a nice summer break next month. We'll meet again September.
September 10th, right?
No, September 3rd, 1st, on the team admin and planning, the regular monthly session. First week.
Right.
And then second week would be the hackathon session.
The first one in September is when?
Third. First Tuesday.
Okay.
Yes, September 3rd.
So
what's
this is
the
general
time?
What?
What's the time on this?
Same time, like today, 10 a.m. Eastern.
Okay, so going forward, all meetings are at 10.
Yeah, the next hackathon session is 10.
At the regular meeting.
Okay.
The regular meeting is the 3rd.
Okay.
Because it used to be 11:30.
Right, we have changed. Is that okay with everyone?
Yeah. Is there agreement on that? This is a good time?
I think that there was some agreement earlier. This was adopted.
Right, just want to make sure there, because I mean I know that it was agreed for the hackathon sessions, but the general sessions, I don't recall we actually shifted the time. But okay, let's go for that. All right, are we adjourned?
Yep. Yes. Good meeting.
Yes. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.